And I'm so thankful for God's mercy. I'm thankful for God's grace and for what God extends to us. And God has done some amazing things in the hearts and lives of people this week. And we're so thankful. And we give God the praise because he's still on the throne. And he is still king. And he is still Lord. And we don't serve a risen Savior, but one alive and well. Amen. Amen. I don't know if y'all know it or not, but we had prayer for Vernon last week, Vernon Gilbert, and he come up, and Steve and I were praying for him, and he had done been to the doctor, and they've done did some tests on him, and did a stress test, and an echocardiogram, and things of that nature, and said he had some blocked arteries, and that they needed to go in there, and put some stents in there, and balloon them out. Well, he came forward Sunday morning with Steve and asked for prayer, and then I said, well, you want the whole church to pray for you? He said, no, I have faith enough to believe that where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst. And he said, and looking at you and Steve and me, he said, that makes three of us, so God's right here. I said, amen. So we prayed for him and asked God to bless and take care of him. Well, he went to the doctor Tuesday. And they go to do the stents, and they go up there and look around, and they said, huh, there ain't no clogged arteries up here. And so they come back out, and he gives God the praise and the glory. Amen. And God came back, and Vernon said, I know what took place. God healed me. And so he is able to witness to the doctor, and they didn't have to do no stents, didn't have to put on no ballooning or nothing like that, and said he had the heart of a 20-year-old. When God changes something, he changes it. Amen. And there's a song that says, from the inside out, that's how God works. Amen. Well, we'll be talking about the king declares guilty people righteous in Romans 3. And look at verses 21 through 25. And as you turn there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, I thank you that you are king. And God, that I was guilty, the Lord, and guilty of sins in my life. And God, you, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, declared, God, guilty people righteous. And God, I was guilty for everything, the Lord, a sinner that was lost and undone and unclean. And God, you forgave me. And God, you restored unto me, Father, a joy of our salvation. You gave me a joy of being saved, the Lord. And God, I thank you that you didn't hold my sins against my charge, God, because there was no way that within myself I could ever pay for the bad that I had done, the sins that I committed, the Lord, and living an unrighteous life. God, I could have never paid for that on my own. But thank you for your love and your mercy, God, that you extended to us and sending your son Jesus to take all my sin upon the cross, but not only mine, but all the sin of the world. And God, I thank you that you claim us today, those that's put their faith and trust in you, the Lord, as guilty people, you claim us righteous today through the blood of Jesus. God, I thank you and I praise you, God, as we open up your word this morning. God, may you anoint the reading of your word. May your word go forward. May it accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to you. God, may it cut where it needs to cut. May it pierce where it needs to pierce. God, may we be challenged through your word today to live a more godly life, to do a survey of our heart and a survey of our life, the Lord. And Father, look inside, and as I preached Wednesday night, God, to see if we have clean hands, and God, a pure heart, and a face, and being a generation that seeks you, O God, of Jacob. And God, I pray that we'll be challenged today. May your word lodge in our hearts and lodge in our mind, God. May we not only be hearers of your word, but doers. And God, may we go out of this place, and we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord, that we can leave this place energized, revived, and renewed, God, because of all that you're going to do. God, defeat the devil, as I said, bind him up, the Lord. Cast him away. And God, he doesn't have room here or place here. And let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our lives today. God, we're going to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. God, anoint the reading of your word. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We'll be in Romans 3 and verses 21 through 25. The king declares guilty people righteous. This verse says, in here it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that what? Believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely without any cost by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation for us through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of the sins that are past through the forbearance of God. When I read this week, I thought about some things in his scripture. When I read it, I see seven things here that I want to point out. There are seven elements of righteousness that God gives to those that trust him. There are seven elements of righteousness that God gives to those that trust him. If you're taking notes, number one is righteousness is apart from the law. Righteousness is apart from the law. And when you read these verses of scripture with me, you'll see that these seven things that I'm talking about. And number one is righteousness is apart from the law. Go back to verse 3 and the first part of verse 21, or chapter 3 and the first part of verse 21. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested. And when I look at that and I see that, here we see God opens the windows of grace to us. Opens the window of grace and lets the light shine in. Lets the light of salvation come in, my friends, through this verse. The righteousness of God has been manifested. It said the righteousness of God has been manifested in Jesus Christ unto and upon all them that believe. Aren't you glad this morning for God's righteousness? Aren't you glad that righteousness is apart from the law? Because, my friend, if you and I had to sit here and think that we could keep every portion of the law, all 600 and some odd commandments of the Old Testament, and all 200 and some odd of the New Testament, and keep the laws every day of our life, and think that we can live out a perfect and sinless, godless life, my friend, it ain't happening. It ain't happening, because if it did, you and I might as well consider ourselves to be God and King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which we're not. And so thank God that through the righteousness that God, through his Son, declares us, my friend, righteous. And that apart from the law is righteousness. And God, it was through him that allowed that to take place. Through the righteousness, righteousness is apart from the law. It has nothing to do with the law. Thank God it does, and it is manifested through God in his Son, Jesus Christ. Thank God that it's manifested in him upon all those that believe in him. Thank the Lord for righteousness through the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, through Jesus, because through that he declares you and me as guilty people righteous in Jesus' name. Righteous in the Lord. Righteous in the Lord. He took my guilt and he blotted it out upon the cross of Calvary. He took my sins and he blotted them out and then nailed them to the cross. But thank the Lord, he didn't stay on that cross, as we just talked about last week. He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave for you and me. Thank you, God, for your righteousness. Thank you, Lord, that when you look down upon me and you saw me as a guilty sinner, and you convicted my heart, and I asked Jesus to come in and to be Lord and Savior of my life. When that happened, God took this guilty sinner as I was and restored unto me and brought unto me the joy of salvation and declared me righteous in Jesus' name. Amen. Declare me righteous in him. Amen. So we see, number one is the righteousness is apart from the law. Not only that, but if you're taking notes, number two is righteousness is built on revelation. Righteousness is built on revelation. When you look at Romans 3 and the next part of verse 21, the second part of that, it says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law was not given as a means of achieving righteousness, but of describing God's righteousness and showing the impossibility of man being able to live up to that. It pointed to that way. It pointed to the sacrifices was not a means, my friend, for the atoning of sin, but it was a means of pointing us to Christ. It was a means of pointing us to Christ, who himself became the ultimate sacrifice once and for all, to pay the sin debt of all mankind. And I see that, and I'm thankful for what the Lord has done. The law could have never removed sin. The law can never remove sin, my friends. The law can never remove sin. It can never atone for sin. It can never give a new and righteous life to a sinner, no matter how zealous we were or anything of that nature. The law couldn't do that. But what the law couldn't do, Jesus did. Jesus did what the law could not do. Jesus did. My friends, and Jesus, through the blood of Christ, removes the sin from our life. And he claims that guilty individual righteous in the eyes of the Lord. We are righteous in him. My friend, listen, I say this all the time. God's not up in heaven looking down on earth to see if you're Baptist, to see if you're Pentecostal, to see if you're Presbyterian, or any of that. He's not looking down to see if you're religious. He's not doing that. We got enough religion go around the world today. He's not down looking for religion. He's looking to see if the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life. He's looking to see if you got a personal relationship with him. That's what matters. That's what matters. That's what gains us access into heaven, is seeing if we have a personal relationship in him. Righteousness is built on the revelation. The law cannot never remove sin, forgive sin, atone for sin, or even give, like I said, a new and righteous life to a sinner. But my friend, when you make Jesus Lord of your life, the blood of Jesus does that. Not only that, but number three, when I look at these verses, I think of righteousness. If you take a note, righteousness is acquired by faith. When you look back at verse 22 and the first part of that, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith. Righteousness is acquired by faith, my friends. For even righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Saving faith, my friend, is more than simply a verbal declaration of a believer about him. It's more than that, my friends. It's more than just saying a few words. Listen to me. The devils believe. The devils believe and they tremble. The devils believe and they tremble. It tells us in Mark 5:7. In Mark 5:7, what does it say? It said, and they cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? The devils even know Jesus, amen? Said, what have I to do with you, Jesus? Thou Son of the Most High God. Not only did they realize that he was Jesus, but they realized that he was a high God. They realized that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And said, and I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Do you think they got a little bit of an idea of what's coming to them one day? Do you think they got a little bit of an idea of what's coming their way and what they're going to do one day? I'm going to tear up Jameson's step right there. You tell him what it's going to do? Righteousness. Righteousness is acquired by faith. The devils even know. It said, they cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. It's about living a life, folks, that shows the way of salvation. It's about you and I living a life that demonstrates and shows the way of salvation. It's about, you know, I thought about Acts 16:17. And Acts 16:17 says, the same followed Paul and us. It said, and cried and saying, these men are what? Servants of who? The Most High God. Isn't that funny that Satan said the same thing? The servants of the Most High God, torment me not. And it says, Paul and us, and they cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. This shows unto us the way of salvation. Wednesday night, if you were here, I preached a message on Psalm 24 and verses 4 through 6. And it talked about having a clean heart. And it talked about having clean hands and a pure heart and a face and a mind that seeks Jesus. And this verse says, when we're looking at it, is our life representing Christ? Are we living a Christ-like life? Are we pointing people to the way of salvation, the way of the cross? It says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and he that lifted not what up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. What does verse 5 say? It goes on to say that he shall receive what? Blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the what? God of his salvation. And verse 6 goes on to say, this is the generation of them that what? Seek him and seek the face of Jacob. Seek the face of him. And there's a song that goes out that says, Lord, give us clean hands. Give us a pure heart. God, let us not be those that seek another. But God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. Let us be that generation that seeks his face. And I said Wednesday night, let us ask ourselves, is there places that we've been this week? Is there places that you and I went? Is there places that we traveled to? Different jobs that we were on? In the grocery store? At a mechanic shop? At a body shop? Anywhere you had a school? In your neighborhood? Down the road? Wherever you were? School, college? At church? Wherever it was? You went a whole week this past week. And you've been at all kind of places and everywhere. Can you truly look at yourself and say that everything I did, every place I was at, everywhere I went, that I had clean hands, and that I had a pure heart, and that I had a face that seeks God of Jacob? You know, my friends, but Christ says we ought to strive to live like that. Christ said we ought to strive to live like that. To strive to please the Lord. And remember, you know, I had people say, and Wednesday night when I said that, a lot of them were saying the same thing you're saying this morning. No, I can't. You know, I made a mess this week. No, I can't. You know what? I let that person just irritate the life out of me, and I blasted them out of order this week. Oh, you know what? I just got so irritable. You know, I blasted this individual to another one. And then, you know, unfortunately, it was to a brother and sister in Christ, and then another brother and sister was listening to it. You know what God says? You need to go back to them people you said it to and get it right with them. And you need to apologize for what you've done. And you need to get it right and seek the God of Jacob. You know, and if you think about those verses, each week when you get up, God, I submit my life to you. God, I want to be a Christian today that God will keep my hands clean before you today. That God, that will keep, Lord, my heart pure today. And God, that I will seek your face today in everything I say and do. And my friends, that's the only way we're going to be able to live a life for him through this generation, the world that we live in. God, give us a clean heart. God, give us clean hands and a pure heart as we seek your face, Lord. Righteousness is acquired by faith. That faith in God. You see, salvation is acquired by faith. It tells us in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. That is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, it's about faith in God. Not only that, but if you're taking notes, not only is righteousness acquired by faith, but number four, righteousness is provided for all. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God said, for whosoever will come to the Lord? Aren't you glad it's provided for all? Righteousness is provided for all. When you look at the last part of verse 22 and the first part of 23, it says this, for there is no difference. It said in verse 23, for what? All. A-L-L. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I thought about Galatians 2:16. It says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the what? Works of the law, but by what? Faith. Faith in who? Faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even we believe in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by what? Faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Thank the Lord, we are justified by faith and blood of Jesus Christ. But not only that, but after we are justified by his faith and his love and his blood, then works should follow that. Then we should want to work for the Lord. We should want to witness and tell people about the Lord. Not only that, but he tells us in John 6:37. He says in John 6:37, all that the Father give me shall what? Come to me. And him that what? Cometh to me, I will what? In no wise cast out. Guess what that means? Are y'all with me today, church? Yeah. Guess what that means? For the children of God. For brothers and sisters in Christ that make Jesus Lord of their life, that means when he becomes Lord of your life, and it tells us in John 10:27, 28, and 29 about the sheep hear his voice, and it says that Jesus is in the Father's hand, and we're in Jesus' hand, and when you got that, somebody got a corn or something. Let me pull this piece of paper right here. Where's Pac-Man? Pac-Man's that man. Get up for a minute. That means, are y'all with me? The child of God is in Jesus' hands, right? You with me? And Jesus is in whose hands? This is the child of God. This is you, Pac-Man, Zap-Man. You in Jesus' hands. And Jesus is in whose hands? The Father's hands. And it says what? no man can pluck you out. Zach, get that candy out of my hand. What's up, man? Come on, you Superman. You Pat-Man. You Pat-Man Zach. Superman Zach. What's wrong, man? He is trying, buddy. I'm going to have all my knuckle skin off of me. All right, you give up. You can't get it, can you? Guess what? Because you are a child of the King, you in Jesus' hand, and Jesus in God the Father's hand, and ain't nobody going to get Pac-Man. Ain't nobody going to get Zach-Man. You know, and I think about that. You know, thank the Lord that we're in His hands. And that's what it said, that righteousness, that faith is in the Lord. And being in the Lord, it says no one can pluck us out. It says no one will have a chance. That is in Jesus. We're sealed and secured in Him. In verse 36, 37 says, all the Father give me shall come to me, and him that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Thank the Lord. All who believe will be saved. And I think about even the chiefest sinner as Paul was. God transformed his life. It saved the soul, and he never was the same after that. Amen. Oh, my friend, he does the same for you and me. Does the same for us. Not only that, but number five, righteousness is given freely through grace. Look at the first part of verse 24 in Romans 3. It says, being justified what? Freely by his grace. Justified means to declare the righteousness of something or someone. And we are justified through Jesus, and he declares our righteousness to the Father. Amen. Justified through him, declares our righteousness to the Father. Justified in him, righteousness freely given through the grace. This demand, the demands of the law are fulfilled. God justifies the believers as a gift by his grace. As a gift by his grace, not because any good or anything that one can be justified. Here it says it's a gift that was freely given, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in who? Christ Jesus. Through the redemption that is in him. Galatians 2:21 says this. Says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But the law reveals God's righteousness and exposes man's unrighteousness. And grace not only reveals God's righteousness, but he gives his righteousness to those who will believe in him and trust his Son. The gift of grace, listen to me, cost God his Son the death of Jesus. But thank God for the grace and the atonement for our sins was paid by the Lord himself. Not only that, but number six, righteousness is accomplished by redemption. Righteousness is accomplished by redemption. The last part of verse 24 says this. It says, through the redemption that is in who? Christ Jesus. That is in Christ Jesus. As a ransom being paid for a criminal with no ability to pay, the ransom of a sinner could only come from the Lord. You know, there's an old saying that goes like this. I had a debt that I could not pay. Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe so you and I could live for all eternity in a place called heaven. I had a debt that I couldn't pay, my friends. A debt that I owed that I couldn't pay because of the sin of my life. But thank God through his righteousness, through his mercy and the grace, he sent his son Jesus to take my place. And through that, my friends, I am righteous in God's eyes. We are all righteous in there. There's a song that said, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. He washed my slate clean, white as snow in Jesus. He took care of that. Not only that, but the last one is righteousness was paid by the atoning sacrifice. When you look at 25, in the first part of that, it says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his what? Blood. Propitiation means appeasement and satisfied. Satisfaction. God satisfied our debt through his son Jesus. He satisfied our debt through his son Jesus. The only propitiation that could be accepted by God had to come from God. had to come from God, and that's the reason he offered up Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:6. 1 Timothy 2:6. It says this. Well, what does it say in 1 Timothy 2:6? It says, who gave what? Himself a what? Ransom for all, to be testified in due times. He what? Appeased, my friend. He appeased the wrath of God. 1 Peter 1:18-19. What does it say? It says, for as much as you know that you are what? You are not redeemed. As for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with what? The precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. It was paid in his divine blood, my friends. It was paid in the divine blood of the Lord. This was the equivalent to the Old Testament reference about the mercy seat. The mercy seat in the holies of holies, where the high priest once a year went in and offered up sacrifices for the sins of the people and for his own sins. And he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, and it symbolized the payment of penalty. This was a yearly act, and it had no power, my friend, to remove or pay the penalty of a single man's sin. Had no power to do that. But thank God that it pointed to the true and effective offering of Christ. In Hebrews 10 and also in Hebrews 10:10 and 10:14, it says this. It says, by the which we were all what? Sanctified through the offering of the what? Body of Jesus Christ. How many times? Once for all. And verse 14 says, for what? For by what? One offering, he hath perfected forever them that are what? Sanctified. Colossians 2:11-14 says this. Says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of what? Sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him where? In baptism, wherein also ye are what? Risen with him through what? Faith. Risen with him through the faith of operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath quickened together with him, having what? Forgiven you of all your what? Trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, and did what? Nailed it to the cross. Aren't you glad that God's righteousness paid it all? That God's righteousness was the payment for the atoning of sin and sacrifices. Thank God for the payday. Thank God, as I said, that I owed a debt I could not pay, but he paid a debt he did not owe, to wipe away your sin and my sin. Thank God for what he did on the cross of Calvary. Oh, listen, we are declared righteous through Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Will you claim your righteousness today? It was paid for you over 2,000 years ago. Amen. On a cross. Amen. He said he removed it from us and he nailed it to the cross. My friends, he is standing here today to offer that free gift to you. It's a free gift. You don't have to do nothing to buy it. It's free. He tells us, as I said in Romans 3:23, as we read, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? You know, I had the privilege to sit down with Miss Leah's granddaughter, Isabel. And Isabel sat in the office, and we were talking. I said, Isabel, do you know what that verse is saying? It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said, you know, we all have sinned. We can figure that out. I said, but what does it mean when it says come short of the glory of God? Brother James, what that means is God had heaven intended for you and me. But because of the sin in our life, it caused us to fall short of that mark. And God knew that. He knew that we needed a Savior and a way out. You know, I told Isabel, I said, you and me and Miss Leah, we can go outside and we can pick up a rock. I said, Isabel plays softball for Sebastian over in St. Augustine, way over there. I said, Isabel, if me and Miss Leah and you were to go out in the parking lot and we were to grab a rock, and standing right here in this parking lot, we want to hit Sebastian ball field, softball field where you play softball. You throw, Miss Leah throws, and I throw. Our mark and our destination we want to get that rock to is Sebastian in St. Augustine. I said, are you going to hit Sebastian with a rock from here? She said, no, Pastor Tim. I said, but Sebastian is where we want to get the rock to. She said, right. I said, but what happens when we go to throw it and hit Sebastian? What's going to happen? She said, we're going to come short of hitting Sebastian. I said, amen, that's right. And unconfessed sin in our life causes us to fall short of the glory of God, which is heaven. And you know, and we got to talking about that. I said, but you know, it says in Scripture too, it talks about there's a gift. I said, it talks about, it says, but the gift of God is salvation. It says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life, is salvation through Him. And I told her, I said, Isabel, I said, my wife would be happy. I said, I want to pay you $100, come clean my house. And I said, if you come and clean my house and vacuum it and dust it and all that, I'll give you $100. You come over there and clean it all up. You clean it all up and I give you $100. I said, what did you have to do? She said, I had to clean your house up. I said, exactly, what does that mean? She said, I had to work. I said, that's right, wages. And I said, and wages in our life earns us death. For the wages of sin is death. And that death it talks about is a separation from God. But I said, thank the Lord that He said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I said, now, Isabel, I got $100 in my pocket and I want to give it to you. I pulled out and I held my hand out. I said, Isabel, it's yours. I said, what do you got to do? And she said, take it. I said, amen. That's all you got to do is take it. And she said, and once I take it, I'm not returning it. And I said, well, praise the Lord. Once you take it, Jesus don't return it either. Amen. All you got to do is take it. He's offering a free gift to you and me. All we got to do is take it. She said, Pastor Tim, how I take it? I said, and I'm glad you asked. Romans 10:9-10 says, if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, it says we shall be saved. It says, for with the mouth, amen. It says, for with the mouth, confession is made and salvation is made. And with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And it says, it goes down in Romans 10:13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God stands today offering you the free gift of righteousness. It's already been paid for. It's already been nailed to the cross. When are you going to accept it?